going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
From Borgata on this Friday morning. Great to have you with us. Of course, the draft rolls on day two today, three tomorrow. Eagles still have a bunch of picks, so that, you know, they're going to add a lot of dudes. We'd still expect, you know, the positions we've talked a lot about, D-tackle, edge rusher, probably a corner in there somewhere, probably a tight end in there somewhere. So time will tell. I would say the Goddard thing, if it happens, likely won't be today, but more on the table tomorrow with the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th round. So keep your eye on that tomorrow. John, gut feeling, is Goddard an Eagle on Sunday morning?
I sure have no idea. I hope so. We are better if he is an Eagle, and this really is all about money.
You know what? It's not just that. I'll say this. It also has to do. It also has to do with leverage. If the Eagles get a second round tight end, the Eagles have more leverage than Goddard. If the Eagles don't draft a tight end, at least high, Goddard's leverage goes up. You know, because Goddard knows they might not want to start Calcaterra.
Well,
so there is something to be said for
who. I think Calcaterra is functional the way they need him to be.
Well, that's my point.
He's very aware. Dallas Goedert knows exactly where he stands compared to Calcaterra. He doesn't know where he stands compared to the three other tight ends that we brought in.
What he really doesn't know is if the Eagles get a second round, you know, third round tight end, because that could change the equation.
Sure could. It's possible. Again, we talked about it. Being at the end of this second round, though, that precludes the ability to get some of these, big-name guys who could have gone in the first round that, like Mason Taylor, really helped this team right away. I would love to see the Eagles get aggressive right at the start of this second round.
Still out there, yeah.
Yeah, for the I don't know, edge rusher, for the tight end, for any number of these big-name players who they had rated as a first-rounder. If there's any of those left, maybe Howie figures out a way to get up in the second.
Last night it was Shahad Campbell with pick 31. The Eagles gave up a fifth-rounder to move up from 32 to 31 to get it done. When he got picked, he also got interviewed. Let's listen to Jahad Campbell after the selection with the NFL Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Shout out to everybody back at home, man. I'm coming back home. Philly, I know what's up. We got to turn up. We got to get lit. We got to win another freaking Super Bowl next year, man. It's on.
Never give up the microphone unless you're teaming it to a draft pick that's going to a Super Bowl champion. What was it like to receive that phone call from a general manager that constructs a championship roster?
Man, it was a surreal feeling, you know, just getting that call and just being here and, you know, just having that opportunity, you know, maximizing my opportunities when I was younger and, I mean, you know, just leading it to this point. So I'm just extremely grateful and I'm honored.
And you have a future in television when you're done playing. Congratulations.
You're damn right.
How about that? Jahad Campbell last night, confident guy. Sounds like a good dude. You know, Nick Saban, who coached him, said he's a really good person. Let's listen to Jahad Campbell because that's one way to answer a question about getting the call from Howie. But he gave an even more comprehensive answer about an hour or so later when he was talking to the Philly assembled media about receiving that call from his hometown team.
The phone call, what was that like? What did they say on the phone? And you're someone who would know what a 215 number is. So when that 215 number
once I see the number, I'm like, pretty interesting. Okay. So I answered it. And it was Howie, but he was like, you know what this is? You know what this is? I'm like, nah. And then that's when he's like, it's Howie Rose. And I was about to break down, man. You know, I mean, it was just a surreal moment, you know, for me and my family. Like, my grandfather, like, I'm talking way back in Randall Cunningham days, you know, he always watched the Eagles and he always loved the Eagles. You know, my pops, my mom, my two brothers, my uncle, I mean, like, my whole family, you know, so it was definitely a special moment, you know, for me and my family.
And of course, you know, I think for all of us as fans, because I think the Eagles, I mean, John, they got a really good player last night, right?
Unbelievable player, unbelievably gifted, talented, versatile, does it all, defender, just a defender who can do anything you ask him to do. Vic Fangio is going to maximize his skill set. So it's going to be a process of trial and error. How much can Jahad Campbell give us? How much can he actually do? How much can we do with Zach and Jahad on the field at the same time?
Right.
Holy cow.
Yeah, you got blitzing
capabilities. I mean, stemming those guys up to each edge, you know, like, we're in nickel. We got two inside linebackers. Holy cow. Now, all of a sudden, they're coming off each edge. Their rush ends. You don't know what these guys are. Part of what made the New England Patriots so difficult for any team to deal with for so long when Bill Belichick was there was the nebulous nature of the defenses that he would put out there. And back then when I was playing, and like we were talking about, all the defensive players were bigger. When the linebackers were 6'3", 6'4", 265, 270 pounds, the New England Patriots had linebackers who were 6'4", 275. They had defensive ends who were 6'4", 285. And they were all wearing 50 numbers. Their defensive ends were wearing 50s, and their linebackers were wearing 90s. And you couldn't tell who was playing linebacker and who was playing defensive end. And it was all intentional.
That's fascinating.
By Bill Belichick and company, because it would affect our ability to know who the heck we were supposed to be blocking. Is that guy a linebacker? Is he a down lineman? Is he standing up in a two-point stance? Is his hand down? Is his number 90? Is his number 50? All of these things, they would mess with you. They would stand up the down guy, and they would put the stand-up guy with his hand in the ground, and it would mess with all of your assignments. We can start doing all that stuff now. That's so exciting. Vic Fangio with these chess pieces who are this versatile.
Yeah.
Man, the sky's the limit. He can do whatever he wants.
All right, Howie and Nick, what they said late last night, that's coming up shortly. Let's get to John right now on the draft pick. John, good morning. Johnny. John not ready to go. We go to JB. He's calling from Chestnut Hill. What's happening, JB?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show as usual. A little bit of hoarse from screaming and yelling yesterday.
Man, you sounded like you did a lot of screaming and yelling.
Sure do.
Was that for the draft or something else?
I have draft and some other stuff, but
that's an intense draft experience.
Yeah, you're
for
still
you.
Mad about the Phillies. I get it. By the way, see Garrett Stubbs last night hit a home run on Vince Velasquez.
Did he really?
In the minor leagues. Garrett Stubbs takes Vinny Velo deep in a minor league game.
That sounds about right.
All right, what do you got, JB?
That's the equivalent of a tree falling in the woods. And no one
yeah.
So I think now's Howie's season, right? Like, last night was a little taste. Like, oh, look, Howie moved up the spot. Got the linebacker they wanted. Awesome. but there's still some really good first-round talent. And I think Howie's going to stalk his prey early in the second round. I think Will Johnson has to come off the board early. He's not going to, which is fine. But I think if he tried, I think Howie might package those late.
I'll be shocked, JB. If you're talking about early second round getting into the 30s, I'll be shocked. To go from, what is it, 64 up to the 30s, I mean, it's possible, but it's unlikely.
Right, but
you got a lot of picks.
Yeah, the kid from Boston College,
Ezeruku. Yes, Ezeruku. Hey, you know he's named
after. Does anyone
after...
actually know how to say his last name?
No.
Yes.
Not even him.
I do. I do. I have it somewhere. But did you know that he was named after Donovan McNabb?
No.
Yeah.
The first name?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
Ezeruku, and he was named after Donovan.
Wow. How about that?
Yep.
Great fact. All right, JB, I got to get to this Howie and Nick thing. Give me an answer for what hasn't happened in a while.
Well, I'd like to be happy that the Cowboys just, like, you know, mundane with, like, nonsensical interior alignment. So, like, the, you know, the Malones and the McCafferty's of the Cowboys fans of the Philly are very upset. I think something that hasn't happened that probably won't happen again, or maybe won't, how about going to the moon?
Well, I said that one. We already referenced that we haven't gone to the... Did I say that on the air, Devin, or did I say that off the air?
Say what?
I did, Fran. I did say it. I'm being told I did say it. Got to give me a different answer, JB.
How Three? About triple Two? Ground winner for the horse racing?
All right, you got it. Well, it's been about 10 years or so not that long. All right, Howie and Nick, what they said last night after the draft pick, what they said coming up in 1 minute.
You've heard me talk about my friends at PDQ POS and how their top-rated restaurant management system has helped thousands of companies in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, and casino businesses across the country. I've seen their operation, the people, the technology. It's so impressive. If you're thinking of cutting your old point of sale, it's time to go all in and revolutionize your business with PDQ POS, game changer in the world of POS solutions. Joe Flynn and his team at PDQ have been the industry leader for over 35 years for a reason. It's because they offer everything: mobile POS, self-service kiosks, enterprise reporting, contactless functionality, data and cybersecurity, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest, easiest, the most reliable POS available. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, they'll build a custom solution for your business. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, well, Howie's the best. There's no doubt about it right now in pro football. There is no doubt. Last night, Howie did three things. He made a trade. He made a pick, and he talked to the assembled media about that pick. Listen to Howie Roseman last night, along with Nick Sirianni, a press conference. Take it in, then you can react.
We picked Jahad Campbell. We made a small trade up just to ensure that we could get him. There are a lot of trades in the 20s, and so we just want to make sure that someone didn't jump ahead of us. Excited to have him, really excited to have him. Wasn't something we anticipated, understand. Some of the other teams may have reasons for taking other players, but for us, this is a really easy pick. Really explosive player. He can play inside. He can be an edge rusher. Just really feel fortunate to bring him home back to Philly.
Howie, there were reports that you were trying to trade up a little bit earlier. Was that for Jihad?
It was. You know, again, this was a top 10 player on our board. We do not have any long-term concerns with his health. We have, you know, we look at the draft as a long-term opportunity for our team. We have a lot of confidence this guy's going to be here and play at a really high level for a long time. And so when you're in a draft and you're picking at the end of the first round, you have an opportunity to get a top 10 player at your board on your board, a guy who can affect the quarterback, a guy who can affect the passing game. You know, for us, it was a no-brainer. Local kid, great character. So we were really excited to add him.
Nick, I heard Howie say that he has that the pass rush ability as well. How do you view him and how he's using the defense?
Yeah, I think we think he's a versatile player who can do a lot of different things. Obviously, the main thing that you see is the energy that he plays with, the speed that he plays with, and that when you're playing and relentless effort that he plays with, and that fits on defense.
Is he far enough in his rehab that he'd be
could be ready, do you think, for training camp or opening day?
Yeah, we'll get all into that when we bring him in here. You know, obviously our guys had an opportunity to see him at the combine and the rechecks. And, you know, we're very excited about what he's going to bring to the team. From our perspective, you know, all that stuff will be sorted out. But again, we're looking at this. This wasn't a need pick. This was, for us, a player we had tremendous passion about. And somebody, when we started the process and continued through the process, was very high on our boards. And, you know, we got to look at the draft that way. You know, obviously, there are other players we liked at the spot we were picking, but this stood out to us, and very excited to get him. We didn't want to lose him.
Howie, how would you describe what you're like when you see a player falling and you're trying to trade for him? How would you describe your mannerisms, your mood?
I don't know.
Maybe asking you better, Nick.
Yeah, I don't know.
Your answer.
I mean, persistent, determined, would that be fair?
Yeah.
Did
you think that he was, like, falling, or that this is where you felt?
You know, I think We get enough information before the draft that we started to feel like it was a possibility in the last few days. And so we had gone through scenarios where he was going to fall. We knew that there was probably a sweet spot that we could try to get up at. And we had done a lot of planning about that. So we understood kind of some of the questions that were going on him. We spent a lot of time with our doctors and our medical staff, ensuring that we were all seeing it the same way. Again, you know, we have a lot of confidence in our edge rushers on this team, and our inside linebackers on this team. But for us, this we thought was one of the best players in the draft.
The next question is he going to start off with Washburn or with Bobby Green?
Yeah, I think we'll go through that here. But this is a guy who was recruited from IMG at Alabama as an edge rusher, hand and dirt edge rusher. They had some injuries at Alabama. They played him off the ball. You see his explosiveness and his speed, and really, you know, it's kind of interesting, and we talked about this a lot. You know, you see it. You see Penn State give them a lot of credit what they've done. They've had guys off the ball move to edge rushers. Obviously, their last two guys who've been drafted really high, they start off the ball and they move to edge rushers. Vic does a tremendous job with getting guys who have pass rush ability to be versatile players like that. And I think what's really fun is that those guys who have that versatility, who can go out on the edge and get pressure as a rusher, and he's got speed, he's got power as an edge rusher, he was trained as an edge rusher, and then he got the versatility to play off the ball and blitz from depth and play in space, in pass coverage, as an off-ball linebacker. And so the things that you can do and keep all these players on the field. So for us, you know, it's just we always want to improve the front seven, and we view him as a front seven player who's got incredible versatility and a skill set to do both those things. And the appeal is that he's got this rush skill set, and he's 21 years old. He turned 21 on February 24th. So you know, like, he's got upside to grow and get bigger. And his frame is such that he can put on more weight and more strength. And so, as you tell, excited about the player.
What were the conversations like with Vic Fangio in the pre-draft process about how he might fit in the defense and how the versatility might be able to, you know, be an asset for the defense?
Yeah, tremendous respect for Coach Fangio and the accomplishments he has and what he sees in defensive players. And so, you know, I think for us, we're having those conversations with every member of our coaching staff and certainly our coordinators. And obviously Vic, with the success that he's had, those conversations go deep. And so, understanding that he's got a vision for the player, but we've seen what he can do with guys with this kind of skill set. And you just look around the league, you know, the teams that we have to get through to get where we want to go, they have fast, explosive quarterbacks, players in their backfield that we got to bring down at all levels of our defense. And we need a tremendous amount of front seven players to contain those guys. And so it's always been a priority, you know, for us. This doesn't deviate what we believe. You know, we believe in affecting the passing game on offense and defense, and this guy can affect the passing game on defense.
There's been guys here before, local guys from this area, who've struggled with kind of being a pro near home, just the demands on them, having their friends in the same town stuff and ticket requests and all that. Is that something that is, I don't know, do you look into that at all? Is that something you kind of consider with a local kid?
Yeah, I rely on Dom. You know, I rely on Dom to get to know these kids, and he knows all these kids and the background that they come from. And, you know, I think that I don't know necessarily who you're talking about. You know, I could probably think of one that wasn't as high a pick, but I don't have any doubt about this player's character, this player's work ethic, this player's desire to win.
You mentioned Vic. How much has he expanded your view of what an off-ball linebacker could do in terms of value for a defense?
Yeah, I don't want to put this player in that box. That's what I'm saying. This guy can grow into anything you want, and what I'm saying is Vic has done a tremendous job with kind of educating me on the way that he looks at things and the way I look at things, and we have a lot of these conversations about it. And obviously, you know, those are great conversations. For me, I'm continuing to learn every day. That's a beautiful part about the job that we have. And but at the end of the day, like, you see it in what's going on in the league. And Zach Bond's a great example. I mean, these guys, they can rush from the edge, they can play in space, they can affect the quarterback from depth, from the edge, and that's what we're looking for. You know, we're looking for guys like that, and the league has changed, you know, and I think the league is a speed game, and when you have guys with those kind of explosive qualities, and you want to get as many as you can.
Does Nakobe's injury timeline affect his projection at whatever position?
No, we have a lot of confidence in Nakobe Dean, and this has nothing to do with Nakobe. This had to do with the fact that we had a top 10 talent on our board, who we love the player and we love the versatility. And, you know, for us, that was it. That was really it. You know, it wasn't about we start drafting for need or we start turning down top 10 players when we're picking in the 30s. It's not going to be good for our football team.
You mentioned how other teams, you thought that he may drop a little bit just based upon the injury concerns, and you trust your doctors. And what is it from your team's evaluations of him medically that you think that he's going to be?
Well, Jeff, when we do our medical meetings, we share medical grades with other teams. So, you know, obviously they all go to the combine. So I don't want it to be like we're the only team that had, you know, was confident with him medically. I'm not going to go into the medical stuff because I don't do that with any of our players. But I would say for us, we look at this as a long-term investment, and we think this guy's going to be playing a long time for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Press conference last week, you spoke about how player comps come up in those meetings. What player comps came up with him?
Yeah, you know, again, you know.
They're trying to get you. Yeah. They're trying to get you.
Go ahead. You want to take it?
Well, no. You know, because it's funny because we were watching, like, on the NFL Network, and, like, the first few guys are, like, Hall of Famer comps, you know? And so it's like we're looking at that. We're going, whoa, those are big shoes to fill. So I think for, like, those are conversations we have with our staff, and that puts Coach in a bad spot. So I'm stepping in front.
Are you sensing any reluctance from other general managers around the league to do deals with you, given your recent run of success and the draft and with trades?
I wasn't. I didn't feel that way. You know, again, like, we're all in the business of making our teams better. And so I think that when we find opportunities to make our team better, we'll do the trade. When other teams find the opportunity to make their team better, they do the trade. You know, I think we just traded with the team we played in the Super Bowl. You know, we moved up one pick. Gave them some value. So I think, you know, all the conversations we're having, what happened in this draft was the trade started to pick up and the value of the trade started to pick up. So that always makes it different. Once one trade goes down, the market kind of changes. So you got to adjust with that, but feel fortunate that we got them.
Well, that's Howie Roseman last night, and of course Nick Sirianni as well with their press conference. We got a Twitter poll question of the day about what they were just talking about, meaning the move and the pick at Jihad Campbell. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, do you like what Howie did last night? The trade and the pick from 32 to 31 to get Jihad Campbell. A, yes. B, no. You can vote at SportsRadio WIP on Twitter. Elliot Shore Parks vote on that poll. We'll get to Elliot coming up. His reaction to all of it in 1 minute.
You're ready to propose, and yes, it can be a bit intimidating, shopping for the diamond. And that's why men all around the area will tell you, no matter what, you have to visit Benari Jewelers. They have a way of transforming intimidating into informative and confusion into crystal clarity. And here's how. The Benari team starts by putting you at ease, showing you every single thing you need to know about making that important purchase, how to evaluate the cut, the color, and clarity. No hard sales, just education, putting you in the driver's seat. You'll feel like an expert browsing through the largest selection of diamonds, but not just any diamonds. These are hand-selected, with only a few making the grade to become a Benari diamond. The others land at big box jewelers with high pressure sales to move them along. With Benari diamonds, the value shines through. You'll walk away with a superior diamond that she'll love for years to come. Benari Jewelers, when ordinary won't do. Everything at Benari is extraordinary. Exton in Newtown Square, online at BenariJewelers.com.
All right, great to have you with us on this Friday morning. Mike, I don't see Elliot's name on the board. We got Elliot. Sure. We got him. Let's talk to our Eagles reporter. He was there last night when Howie and Nick were addressing the assembled media, Mr. Elliot Shore-Parks. Good morning, Elliot.
What up? How you guys doing this
morning? A lot. So, Elliot, yes, huge high grades for Howie from what we're saying, and I would say 100% of callers so far today. Does he deserve all the accolades he's getting? Put another way, did they get the right guy?
Yeah, I really like the pick. Whether they got the right guy, we'll find out. I mean, you know, obviously at this point, none of us know how these guys will transition to the NFL. But for me, this is one of those picks where you first hear it, and it seems, for me at least, like a bit of a head scratcher. But then you actually look at it, and it makes complete sense. And I'm actually like disappointed in myself that I didn't talk about him more leading up to the draft, because I think that we need to view this guy not as an off-ball linebacker that can play edge, but an edge that they can be versatile with and play off-ball linebacker. And that's a key distinction, because if you look at him as an edge, this is a classic Howie pick written all over it. A guy that I do believe is a top 10 talent in this draft is one of the, honestly, maybe five guys in the draft that I think has like special all-pro upside, like legitimately.
Wow.
And I think that because of his injury, which we'll see, right? The shoulder thing is a concern. And we'll talk about maybe some of the cons in a second.
Sure.
But Howie has gotten to where he's gotten by taking big swings, right? Like Jalen Carter, I think, was a big swing. Jahad Campbell, to me, qualifies as a big swing. So I love the athletic makeup, and I love the big swing on the pick.
Elliot, how worried are you? And I don't want to say I'm worried, because I'm not. I love the way the guy plays. But the last time it feels like something, a player fell to us to this degree, you know, my mind goes back to Andre Dillard. Remember, we go back to Andre Dillard, where we hadn't even really done what seemed like the full workup on Andre Dillard. He was still available. He was ranked so high in the draft that year, none of us even like were researching him or ready for him to be around. And it felt like the Eagles were also sort of surprised by that. Is this one of those things with Campbell that they didn't even expect he would be around? He was so good, because it feels that way.
Yeah, so I definitely think this is a bit of a situation where over the past week or so, they thought this became a real possibility. And because of that, I don't want to say they were cramming at the last minute, that because, you know, they do study these guys and they're scouting people, you know, watch them all year. But they do value the top 30 visit, like they do, right? So you can't for years say that you value it, and then when you don't do it, say it's no big deal. So I definitely think that is, you know, you talk about some of the concerns of the pick. You know, I don't know Jahad Campbell yet. He seemed, you know, good in the interview last night. You watch it, like, he seems like a good guy. But there's just something different between talking to a guy a few times and getting him in your building for a top 30 visit. So that is a concern for me. But the other one I would say, too, is I think there's a little bit of, like, Jordan Davis aspect to this pick in the way that Jahad Campbell showed in college over, I think it was about 120 reps, that he has reps rushing the passer. But it is a bit of a projection, right? Like, when they took Jordan Davis, they were pretty clear. For him to be worth this pick, he has to turn into a three-down pass rusher on that third down. If Jahad Campbell is just, like, a chess piece they can move around, that's a good player. He can help you out. But to be worthy of, like, what he can be, I think he has to become almost a full-time edge rusher. So there is that projection with that.
Elliot, what about the injury reality? I mean, how extensive is it, and what is it expected to mean for his year one and theoretically beyond?
Yeah, so, you know, I obviously, they just made the pick last night at midnight. I've not gotten all the full medical report, right? Yep. So, but I will say that, A, I do think, you know, if you want to compare him to more like past draft picks, N'Kobe Dean was a player that the league had shoulder concerns about. He ended up playing. I do think when you look at how healthy the Eagles have been, you know, in recent years, their medical staff to a certain degree does deserve the benefit of the doubt. All that being said, if he doesn't have the shoulder injury, there's no shot they get to draft this player. So obviously teams had concerns. You know, I believe there is some worry, at least according to some reports, that maybe this impacts his rookie year. Jahad Campbell was, I would say, a little vague about where he's at. Just talking to people over, you know, since last night, like, I think they believe he'll probably be ready week one. And I think for training camp, but yeah, I mean, it's the reason he fell. Like, that's the reason. It's not the player; it's the injury.
Elliot, I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
So Howie says it has nothing to do with N'Kobe Dean,
which I agree with. By the way,
no way, Elliot. It means N'Kobe's not on the team.
Does N'Kobe Dean think it has nothing to do with N'Kobe?
Well, look, N'Kobe might not be on the team in 12 months, but to compare Jahad Campbell to N'Kobe Dean, I think is misreading who Jahad Campbell is.
Well, only if you're right that he's going outside. If that is where
he is, that is where he is going to play. That is where he's going. Now, look,
he's not going to play inside linebacker next to Zach Bond.
He'll play some of it in his rookie year, and I think that he'll take snaps there. But in my opinion, this is an edge player. That's how they
he's on one edge, and Nolan Smith is on the other edge?
Yes, I think that is how they view his best. I mean, just, look at him. Like, does he look like N'Kobe Dean? He looks much more like Micah Parsons. He looks much more like Abdul Carter.
I think that's the way the game's going. The game's getting bigger and stronger and heavier with the run.
You could be right. You're the first person I've heard say that's where this is headed. I mean, he is a side linebacker with versatility, but not an edge with versatility.
But I think Howie could not have been more clear last night. He was recruited to Alabama as an edge rusher. He moved to that position because of injury. And also just, you know, I know there's been a lot of reaction of, I can't believe the Eagles took an off-ball linebacker, first time in 50 years or whatever it is. Well, yeah, because he's not really an off-ball linebacker. Like, they view him as an edge that can do things. And I think that is a key to viewing this pick. He is an athletic edge rusher that has the ability and the athleticism to drop back, but I don't think he's someone that'll be playing the same similar snaps N'Kobe is.
Wow. So you think it's likely that N'Kobe Dean will just work his way back and be playing next to Zach Bond, and our new addition, Jahad Campbell, will be lined up opposite Nolan Smith coming up. So basically, in our base 3-4, it's Nolan Smith, OLB, Jahad Campbell, OLB, Zach Bond, ILB, N'Kobe Dean, ILB.
Yeah, I think that's how they want it to be. Now the benefit of Campbell is he can do different things, right? So if N'Kobe's not healthy, if Campbell adjusts well to the inside linebacker position at the NFL, you can play him there. But I would guess when we're at OTAs and eventually in training camp, like, you will see him take – I think he'll be learning from from Jim Washburn, not Bobby King, put it that way.
Like,
their edge coach, not their linebacker coach.
So, Elliot, what's on tap today? I mean, obviously a late second-round pick. Who should listeners be aware that could be in play for the Eagles, you know, in the 50s if they move up, or at, I guess it is 64 if they stick there? Who should have their eye on?
So, yeah, they have the 64th pick and 96th pick tonight. They traded one of those fifth-round picks to move up, so a little less flexibility, but they have a ton of picks in next year's draft, so they could certainly move up if they wanted to. I would look at, you know, some of these cornerbacks. Trey Amos out of Ole Miss, someone they had come in for a visit, 6'1", has the size to play on the outside. And then tight end. And the other question tonight, too, is Goddard, right? Like, that's the thing that kind of looms over this draft. So, Min Taylor still on the board. Elijah Arroyo out of Miami still on the board. Harold Fannin Jr. from Bowling Green, his former head coach, now on the Eagles staff.
Absolutely.
He's someone I'd look for tonight. And then there's some offensive line players still on the board as well. Wyatt Millam, the offensive tackle out of West Virginia that people project will play guard. So still a lot of players, obviously, that the Eagles brought in for visit that are on the board.
Elliot, the tight end from Wake, was he brought in for a visit, Elliot?
I'm sorry. Can you get the tight end from Wake Forest?
He loves throwing that question at you, doesn't he? Yeah, he always wants you to know all 30 players off the top
tight
of your
end
head.
Coached by
That's
Scott
about the
Leffler
fourth time that
you just brought up.
No, but sorry, he's not out of Wake Forest. You're talking about Harold Fannin Jr.
Harold Fannin Jr.
You're talking about out of Bowling Green. Is that
out of Bowling Green?
About?
That's what I'm. Yeah,
okay.
Bowling. That's what.
That's what threw me
Wake
off.
Forest, so Bowling Green.
My bad. Was he brought in on a visit?
So we only know 29 of the 30 visits, so it's possible he's at 30th, but he's not the other one. But he's interesting. I mean, he had 115 catches. Like, that's an absurd number for college, especially at Bowling Green. Like, that
I'll
is
say.
Yeah. So
115 catches.
That's incredible.
And
in a season, you're saying one season, right?
Yeah, in one season. I think he had over 100 the year before.
Well, they do play like 14 games.
That's crazy.
Now.
That's like a career. That is an amazing
14
career
games
for
that's
a tight
like,
end.
Yeah, that's like.
And that's 1 year.
That's wild. That's a Zach Ertz
Holy
sort of thing.
Cow.
Now, right, in terms of the. Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, in terms of the top 30 visit, the fact that his head coach is on the staff might minimize the need to bring him in.
Sure. Makes sense. Hey, Elliot, I've heard a little bit of chatter. Maybe they grab a third string quarterback later in this draft. What round do you think that could start?
Well, I would guess not 64 in the second round. I would think, not. But, I think the question here for them is, which prospects do they like better than Dorian Thompson-Robinson? And, I think that if he was in this draft, I think there's a lot of quarterbacks he is better than that we're now talking about in that second tier. So
Shador Sanders.
There's no shot they're going to take Shador Sanders.
Let me ask you this, Elliot. So Pittsburgh didn't take him. Maybe they get him in the second round. Maybe they don't. There's not that many teams that need a starting quarterback. Pittsburgh's obviously one. If the Steelers call you up about Tanner McKay, would you be willing to move him for a second-round pick, third-round pick, fourth-round pick? Where would you make the move? Where would you not make the move?
So I definitely wouldn't do it for a third or a fourth. A second-round pick – I mean, that's great value. And the other thing to consider with Tanner, too, is I believe this is his third year on the team, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. So he's approaching year three.
Yep. He would be contract eligible at the end of this offseason, or the end of this season, I should say.
Yeah.
So that's one thing to think about. Now, you do control him for that fourth year as well.
The
so,
Steelers aren't looking at Tanner McKee and thinking like, oh, man, we got to bring Tanner McKee.
He's a lot better than that Mason Rudolph guy.
I don't think the Eagles.
He's 10 times better than Mason. Tanner McKee can
they
play.
They don't think so.
How do you know that?
Well, because they
like you talk to Tom
Mason Rudolph.
They like Mason Rudolph. Like, are you kidding me?
Come on, man.
Rudolph's mom doesn't like Mason Rudolph.
You're talking about our third string quarterback.
No, I'm talking about the second string quarterback. Who's better than Mason Rudolph?
Our third string quarterback last year. And you again, this is insane.
Jim, have you ever watched McKee and Rudolph play?
Yeah.
And you think Mason Rudolph is better than Tanner McKee?
The thing that I'll say in John's defense is Mason Rudolph has played.
Hire him Johnny Cochran. That's the only way he's going to have a defense here.
Mind, just like everyone else who thinks that a third-string quarterback really has the ability to, like, pique the interest of Mike Tomlin. Like, our third-string quarterback is not piquing Mike Tomlin's interest right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, Mason Rudolph has at least played in the NFL.
I'm not predicting the trade. I'm just saying I know Tanner McKee's better than that guy. That guy stinks. Anyway.
They don't think so.
All right. Elliot, we're good. We're done.
Yeah, I think that was good. That was good.
Getting a little brawl off
we
the
got
air.
Got it all done there. Yeah.
And if we get into a brawl, I'll be dead by the time the next segment starts. Hey, Elliot, outstanding work, obviously, to this point. Draft rolls on. You're going to be all over the station the next couple of days, right?
Yeah, so I'm on tonight from 6 to 10 during the second round, so we'll have live reaction then, and then Go Birds Radio tomorrow. So
good man. Elliot, nice work, pal. Good stuff, man.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, there he is, Elliot Sherparks. Up ahead, more of what Jihad Campbell said after getting picked last night. We'll get to that. Phone calls, and also he had a message to Eagles fans. Pretty cool. You'll hear that next on 94 WIP.